UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpcpest.com.
That was so smooth. Thanks, process. Appreciate that process.
He's keeping us legal. And process, thank you for seriously hopping on the board so that
Usually Drew just like has me play him out and I don't have to worry about like harassing somebody about hitting an ID, so I'm not used to it.
Well, it's all good, man. You did that really well.
Yeah.
It was smooth.
Better or worse than my reading skills.
Dude, can't wait for tomorrow morning when Billy and Process go at it over Process.
Dude, I'm gonna scissor kick Billy in the back of the head. I swear to Christ.
What? Process is now threatening senior citizens on the airwaves.
Are you shocked it took this long?
He's going to scissor kick the esteemed. Wow.
Clearly, Process is from the South End. He's still upset about this.
So when he's not staring into his drink that isn't full of whiskey, but just depression and sadness.
Right. Texas says, Biscuit sounds like he's lost weight. Thank you. Because I have.
You do sound skinnier.
Oh, appreciate it. Did I like swallow my bees before?
Like Pat Oswalt? You were B-word fat?
Yeah. I bought the brisket for Belinda's birthday.
Burnt brisket. It's ridiculous. Texter says, Kerry Rhodes was a jet safety. I know. And he was a badass. And frankly, in his last year with the Cardinals, he was like the fourth rated safety by PFF, and he didn't get a contract the next offseason. It was really weird. Bizarre way to end his NFL career. But
When did he play? Sorry.
Kerry Rhodes?
Yeah.
His last season was probably 6 years ago.
Okay.
Hey, guys, Kenny Payne is up, and it said 215, but we're, you know, you want to go to Kenny Payne now?
If he's up, go ahead.
Let's do it.
All right. Going out to the UK presser, this is Kenny Payne, brought to you by our friends at UPS Jobs. Go online at upsjobs.com, graduate debt-free, and learn about the UPS Loop program and Metro College.
Great job, Nick.
Thank you.
They have such a major impact to this program, to this team, to their teammates. Our success rides with them, and the responsibility for them, Ashton in particular, is to be disciplined. We know you have great hands. But there are times in the games where you have to show your hands to the referees, because if your hands are down and you reach, they could blow that whistle. We teach play without fouling. That's what we teach. So when you see a game win 40-something free throws and we're teaching that, then there's either one or two things, a lack of discipline on our behalf, or the referee's eyes didn't see hands up, one or the other.
Kenny, sometimes when it gets into one of those really physical games, do you feel like at times the team that backs up, that backs away from it, ends up on the worst end of the whistle?
No question. I think that if you look at our season, the success is the games that we've won, we were the aggressor. When you look at our losses, we were on our heels. Whether that was Evansville, whether that was Utah, whether that was Ohio State, when we're not the aggressor, we're in a dogfight.
What did Nick, when you tell us what you said to Nick, what did he say to you when you sat down about what happened?
He understood. He remembers. He knows. He understands why, you know, there are days when he's done so well and everybody's giving him credit and love and admiration for how far he's came. And he's wanting that from us, from Coach, from myself, from Barbie, from Joe, well, we can't give him that. We can't allow him to ever relax, because we have a thin margin, very thin. We're not a overpowered, the most talented team in the SEC. We're not the most talented team in the country. We have really good players, and we got to play well to win. And each guy, especially Nick, has to bring their part to the table.
What's going on with Ashton and the turnovers?
I just think they're careless. Has nothing to do with the defender. More to do with his mindset and carelessness and undiscipline at times. When we watch him on film, just take the eyes off the ball. It's for no reason. It hit his foot for no reason. Just has to be a little more focused. Probably some of it is minutes, playing a lot of minutes. The season is long. We played a lot of games. We practice hard here. But you got to mentally be locked in.
Kenny, with EJ, so much has been made of his conditioning. I mean, he's so talented. There's got to be more to it than that. What do you see as what he needs to do?
I think a part of it is conditioning. I think a majority of it is mentality. Can I fight through? Will I fight through? Again, another kid that I would say, high character kid, that his battle isn't the opponent. His battle is how he sees himself, how he fights through whatever it is that's holding him back. He's capable. He's a very good basketball player that has to learn to fight through his own demons. He's headed in the right direction. There are times that he does some unbelievable things for us to win that doesn't get in the newspaper clippings or whatever, but he's an integral part of what we do here, and we need him to play better.
When you talk about what a threat Perry can be when he's at the court, one thing that I feel like we have seen EJ do well is move his feet and play pretty good defense. Do you hope that this is the kind of game when that matchup happens, he can rise to it?
I mean, again, the kid is a NBA player. There'll be a bunch of scouts coming here to see him. There's a challenge there. So EJ's capable. Nick is capable. How about Keon Brooks? You may have to guard him at times when we play you at the four. So don't care that he's 100 pounds bigger. You got to fight. So there's a challenge there that we got to rise up to that challenge and have success against him.
How big of a mountain to climb is it when the other guys, as you say, 100 pounds?
From the outside looking in, it may be, but within, you have no choice. You have to fight. These games, wins and losses, aren't coming down to strategies and defensive plays and offensive strategies of what you want to do and defensive strategies of how you want to guard this. This is your will to win, battle by battle. Possession by possession, what are you willing to do to fight to help this team win? Doesn't care that, you know, you give up 100 pounds. We don't care. Don't care that you get a bad whistle. You got to win anyway. That's why you chose this school. We win historically when the odds are against us. There are no excuses here.
Kenny, you talked about how important Nick and Ashton are. This late in the season, is it still fair to expect other guys to step up so you're not as reliant on them, or is that just who you are?
I mean, we need Nate Sestina to play better. We need him to relax and play hard. And the things that he did before he got here, the fight, the toughness, the energy, the effort to get things done, we need that. This team sorely needs him. And he's trying, but we need more.
A couple more guys. This is going to sound naive, but what about positive reinforcement with Nick? I mean, you're saying, you know, love here. What about a little bit of love?
This ain't the place for that. not with me. Not with Coach. Look, we love him. We cherish him. We hug him and kiss him. But at the end of the day, when you step on that wood, your job is to fight. What you did yesterday is history. What you did the game before is history. We forgetting about that. We on to the next. It's just what it is. That's why we have so many guys that have had success in this game, because we don't lay on our successes. We move on to the next. I don't think it's a rhyme or reason to it. I just think it's game to game, moment to moment, second to second.
if Nick comes out with the mentality that I'm playing well tonight, I'm going to fight you, I'm going to rebound, I'm going to make strong moves around the basket, I'm going to post up hard, I'm going to move my feet on defense with my hands up, I'm going to contest and block shots, then he's going to play well. If he decides, I don't know, I don't quite feel like I can move my feet or I can't fight you in the post or I'm standing straight up and I'm erect, the guy's going to win the battle. It's really that simple.
Very good. Thanks,
all right.
All right. That was the Kenny Payne press conference brought to you by our friends at UPS Jobs. Graduate debt-free. Learn more at upsjobs.com. I'm a proud Metro College graduate myself. Well, I feel like they touched on a lot of the stuff that we touched on in hour two, Mr. Biscotti. Oh, this, by the way, that's Biggest Biscuit. I'm Nick Valvano. Process on the ones and twos. We're filling in
on the
Bobby
ones
D today.
And the twos.
On the ones and the
but
twos.
Not the threes.
Not the threes. Whoa, if whoa, you whoa. Touch the threes,
oh God,
they'll be hell to pay. Process.
Say,
believe the threes, man. I'm not here for them.
That's yeah, an, that's an FCC violation. Do not touch the threes.
Do not ever. Touch the threes.
Do not touch the threes. He talked a little bit about the stuff we talked about. Sorry, I got distracted there. I don't know why. No, I mean they talked about the whole the lack of like the lack of depth. I thought that like that we were kind of touching on and how I mean that he really needs to play well. And I thought like that last little comment about you want to give him some love and yeah. He's like, no, this isn't the place for
it.
I thought that was kind of funny. But I mean that kind of plays into the whole. I mean they got outbodied in that Auburn game, and when Nick.
They don't only lack depth at the five either. They lack depth everywhere right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's three guards.
It's the four players, really.
Yeah, three guards. It's the yeah. And it's Nick and the three guards.
Characters at the four with Sestina and sometimes E.J. Montgomery's in there. I mean, yeah. And you saw at the end of the game the other day, Keon Brooks got some extended time.
I thought
of the
that was
trouble.
Interesting early in the press conference. He mentioned that like that you know Nick and E.J. are strong, great. And then like he brought up Keon and just kind of. Like, there wasn't that adjective of, like...
Right.
And
well,
I always
said sometimes you're going to have to guard Keon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, but, like, it was sort of just... I don't know. Like, just little... Maybe I'm making mountains out of molehills, but that's what you do in sports radio. Just little stuff like that. I really, like just... I know you're parsing words and everything, but just I really wonder how much that, like, kind of adds to the whole, like, yeah, really, after Nick and EJ, they really don't have anybody... I guess Nate, but I mean he's taking quite a dip. I mean they just don't have it in the front court.
It's the four guys, man. That's what it is right now, and that's that thing is if you stay out of foul trouble, those four guys can take him to the
that's
final
what,
four.
That's what Locke said, and you know what? Yeah, they're really if
they're
you're gonna have to have four like, guys, those are good four guys.
Kenny Payne mentioned the amount of minutes they're playing, you know, and how that could have contributed, you know. To a degree of the game at Auburn, but it's that's what they've got right now. I mean, well, you're going to be playing – these guys are going to be playing 35-plus minutes a game.
Yeah.
And that's – you're going to be riding them as far as you can take them.
Well, I mean, with Kenny Payne mentioning that, I mean, then that's kind of also going to be a little indicative of, I mean, maybe the tournament. I mean, you're riding these guys for, yeah, 35 minutes. I mean, they're gonna be pretty worn out. I mean, if they're – and granted – I mean, Auburn's a very good team, but
there.
You could almost say that like maybe your opening round games in the tournament wouldn't be as challenging as that game. But I mean, you're still getting beat up on by a tournament team. I do kind of wonder if it's gonna because it's not necessarily talent. I mean, like you said, those are four good players. I do kind of wonder if that's going to be the ultimate thing that. Because, I mean, Cal always has a tweak. When Nick is playing well, I mean, he's established himself as one of the top bigs in the country, I feel. I feel like that's not ridiculous to say.
No, it's fair.
I mean, when the guards are good, I mean, they have the ability. I'm still waiting to see the Maxi that we saw against Michigan State, where it's just absolutely, it was like, rest in peace, Mamba. I mean, it was that Kobe-esque of just give him the ball. He's going to hit it from anywhere. Like, the ball has to be in his hands because he's taking over
the game.
Well,
it's interesting. When I was on with James Strebel last week, somebody, and before that, somebody mentioned that game against Michigan State, and maybe it didn't ruin Max because he's been great all year.
Yeah, but like, kind I thought of that was an interesting
made him,
point.
You know, kind of feel like he should be doing that every game.
Right,
and it kind of reminded me of the Edgar Sosa Texas A&M game at the end of his freshman year mm-hmm. in the tournament down in Lexington where he scored 31.
Yeah, it went off.
Yeah, it went off, and then it felt like he had to do that every game.
Right,
the next
it was
year,
like
instead
Edgar,
of
no.
being instead of being a point guard.
Yeah,
you know,
no, we're good. You don't need to do that.
And that can happen a lot of times with young players. You know, they have a taste of that success, and they see what they can do. They're like, man, I have to do this every game, or we're not going to, you know. And that's just not how it is. That's not Maxie's role.
I know. I don't want to say
it. But when he is on, he's amazing.
Right.
You know, but it's sometimes you have to defer. And
that's a great word. That's a great word. You know, I don't want to say hero ball because I always feel like that's
such a negative connotation.
Yeah, it really is. But it's almost like it's superstar. But it is kind of hero ball, but
it's
not.
It's hard to describe it that way, but. I don't know.
But it's not doing
it
for glory.
It happens to a lot of young
it's,
players. Yeah, you just think that that's what you have to do.
Deng was doing it, and then it turned into hero ball. Yeah. Then it was just like.
Did you say Deng?
Deng, yeah.
Dengadel.
Yeah, that's what.
Well, he was doing that the entire.
Well, it started off, though. It started off that I thought it was like more positive hero ball, and then by the end of it, when it didn't get reined in, it was just hero ball.
Dribbling into double teams and losing the ball.
Yeah.
A lot.
So, dang, you can't dribble with your left hand. Stop trying.
Stop
it.
At this point, you're not going to be able to do it. But, yeah, that was some interesting comments there. And Kentucky's a hard team for me to read, honestly, at this point. They do this. Yeah. It feels like they do this more often than not, where, you know, they find a way to beat Louisville
every single year. Every time.
And then they struggle at times with teams they just should not struggle with in the SEC. Auburn, notwithstanding, like, Auburn's a good team.
I was about to say,
but,
I mean, yeah.
You know, like, they were down to Vandy with 10 minutes left, and Vandy is dog water. You know, and just watching that all season is very frustrating as a Louisville fan. It's like, what are you doing? You played so much better
right.
against us. We can't figure
right.
out how to beat you, no matter how good our team is. And then you come out and you look
stumbling all over the place.
Yeah, they always, and you know, that's a credit to the coaching. They always show up for the rivalry game.
But yeah, no, absolutely.
Anyway,
that's why it's
hard for me to read them. I don't know if they're going to go out in the first weekend or if they're going to be a Final Four team. And I think that's the nature of the beast when you don't have depth.
Exactly.
When you're depending on four players instead of eight.
Right.
That's one of those things where,
but that speaks a lot to what the capability of those four players. If you're
100%.
Even having that discussion,
yeah.
that like, yeah, this team could
no,
make
they're
a
good
run.
Enough.
Like,
they're good enough to carry them to the Final Four. They are.
Right.
They're also, you know, shallow enough
that yeah
that they might
they can
you know,
get knocked
thin
out
enough
by...
they might get knocked out in the second round because they're right now they're coasting towards a four seed.
Right.
I mean, it could become a three seed, but with that bad quad four loss. And, you know, three losses outside the KenPom top 100.
How many more chances do they have to get?
I'm not sure how many quad one wins they have left on their schedule. It's not many. But going forward, they can't drop many more games and expect to be on that three line. So
right.
I'm expecting them to be in the 4-5 game in the second round. And that 4-5 game is no joke.
No.
They could play a team like Auburn in the 4-5
right.
game. They could play a team, you know, trying to think of another team that would be around there, but it's not an easy game every year, year in and year out. It could be Michigan State this year. They could be down on the 4-5 line.
Maybe Texas Tech, I don't know.
We lose a couple more games. I mean, Louisville could. It's a tenuous situation with the Duke win.
I was just about to ask, where do you see
there,
Louisville?
We've got
four
quad one wins right now, but Pitt's right on the edge. That road win at Pitt is right on the edge. They're just inside the top 75 or top 70. Louisville, if they drop, you know, three games down the stretch, and we could pop down to the four line. Right now, we're looking at maybe a two or three. If we take care of business the rest of the year, it's two.
Right.
I think I really think we're going to struggle to get up to that one line, even if we went out.
So crazy. It just speaks how down the conferences are this year.
The ACC is down. I mean,
they are having a historic start.
They're having an historically bad year.
Well, I mean, 100%. Historically bad, the conferences, but I'm saying, like, Louisville, like, record-wise, is having a historic start, and we're still like, yeah, they're going to have to maybe...
They're 9-1 in the ACC, and we're not talking really seriously about a one seed right
exactly.
now.
Exactly, yeah, that's it's, what...
They're
alone in first place in the ACC, and we can't realistically talk about a one seed right now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's insane. But you've got UNC's down. UVA is not the same team they've been in the last couple of years. And really, the problem is the middle of the ACC just isn't – it's not full of bubble teams and, you know, tournament teams. It's full of a couple of bubble teams and a lot of NIT teams. So it's just – it's not permanent. You know, I'm sure the ACC will bounce back next year because that's what happens with elite leagues. You know, you have a down year every once in a while, but – once the ACC expanded to 15 teams and the majority of them were basketball-centric teams, you would never expect them to only get 20% of the conference in.
That's – God. Ever. That's crazy.
Ever. I never thought – I thought five would be the floor. And we might still get five into the tournament.
Well, I mean
– we'd have no idea what the bubble looks like at this point. We have no idea how Syracuse and Virginia and NC State are going to end the year because those are three of the teams that are kind of
– So four –
a Florida threat State, to make the tournament. UofL, Florida State, Duke, UofL, and Duke are the locks.
The three locks.
They're the locks. And then everything past that is not a lock. But I think Virginia could step up down the stretch. UNC's not going to make it. They've lost too many games. Unless they win the ACC tournament,
yeah,
they're not going to make it. They have too many bad losses.
Which Syracuse
could possibly step up down the stretch, but they're just going to take a lot of – they're going to have –
Buddy Boeheim's playing his ass off.
But the problem is a lot of these teams are going to have to steal a win from us if they're going to make it.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know,
they're
going
to have to beat Louisville. They're going to have to beat Florida State, and they're going to have to beat Duke. Those are the three teams that provide quality wins for these teams. They're going to have off of us, essentially, if they're going to make the tournament.
Who's the fourth best team in the conference?
I don't know.
I'm pulling up the rankings right now.
It's hard to tell. I lean towards Virginia, honestly.
That's what I was gonna say
because
then.
Of their defense. They're still a hard out, no matter, you know, who they're playing and how down they might be. That pack line is still frustrating, and the tempo they play the game at puts them you know in contention.
UVA is fourth.
They're fourth. They beat Florida State last week.
NC State's fifth, and then Pittsburgh sixth.
There you go. Those are your bubble teams.
There you go.
Really, it's Virginia and NC State are your bubble teams. So I don't see Pitt having enough quality wins at this point.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what's going to be more impressive. The amount of teams that the Big Ten is going to get in, because weren't they throwing around nine, like that number, or the amount of teams that the SEC and ACC are not going to get in. What are you chucking?
Is Louisville 10-1 in the ACC? Or 9-1?
They are. Give me one short crunch. Sorry, the thing's rebuffering.
Is it 10-1 now?
It's loading, is what it is.
Oh, come on.
It's loading. It's loading. Yep, 10-1.
All right. Sorry, Texter. I was stuck in pre-Saturday mode. Right. Texter said Louisville's 10-1, aren't they? Big Blue Biscuit. And I deserve that because I got their record.
Would you eat a Big Blue Biscuit?
Depends on what it's made out of, buddy.
Like some,
it's like a blueberry biscuit.
Yeah, maybe a blueberry biscuit. That could be pretty.
I'll try almost anything once, as far as food goes.
There you go. Yeah. Speaking of food,
that's a good attitude.
Yeah.
Dunkaroos are making a comeback. I was way too excited during the Kenny Payne press conference, which I think that's why, like, coming out of the press conference, I couldn't make a point. They talked about things. We talk about Nick.
It had to be about food. I knew. Yeah, I was like, Nick saw something amazing on the internet.
Yeah, and so then
Nick saw food. Nick is useless for the next 30 minutes.
What was the announcement? I need to do better producing.
It was, and I'm not going to be able to snack on these bad boys for at least a little while because I am on the Vitality program.
Attaboy.
Lost 4 pounds over the weekend. Fabulous.
Good for you.
Thank you very much. But Dunkaroos are making a return.
That's A+ producing right there.
That was fabulous. I'm very proud of you.
I also can't really partake too. I can have something every once in a while.
Right. Yeah.
But I have to be very easy and kind to my stomach and pancreas. Because Biscuit doesn't want to go back to the hospital.
No, we don't want Biscuit going back to the hospital.
And I can't eat him either because I want to get shredded like Drew Deaner.
Attaboy. Drew is pretty shredded.
Yeah, he really is.
He does not walk
around shirtless enough. I mean, like, if you're...
Could you mark that? Okay.
I'm just saying.
I mean, come on. If I had abs like that, it would be really,
You heard Lang a couple weeks ago, right? I was like, man, you're just so shredded. Any woman would want you in this city. And I was just like, what a weird conversation.
I don't even have abs like that, all right? I'm still pretty chubby, you know, even though I lost a bunch of weight. And I just walk around without a shirt on a lot, you know, just... Why wouldn't you?
I go shirtless often.
I do not. I haven't swam in a body of water in 10 years because I don't want people to see my fatness.
You really haven't?
No.
You're looking mighty svelte these
days. We got to get rid of this thing.
Everyone's got a pooch, but you just got to suck it in, right?
Except for Drew.
If I'm not cut like Diener, then this shirt stays on.
All right.
Even when I shower.
Texter says the NIT is going to be lit this year. Might even be better than the Big Dance. It is going to. There are going to be a lot of big name teams in the NIT.
This is the return of the NIT to prominence.
Seriously,
the NCAA has been battling the FBI, not battling the FBI, but they're in battle to everyone. This is going to be the NIT's way to come back and take the top tournament spot.
But the NIT is owned by the NCAA now.
Never mind.
I'm pretty sure.
I think you're 1,000% right.
I think I am too.
But damn, oh, I just had this image of like them sitting at like a table with like the CBI and like all the nerdy like tournaments.
Well, UNC won't even have they have to get a winning record before they can even go to the NIT.
Well, that's a good point.
So I don't know if they're going to make it, but I don't know. A lot of those mid-tier like NC State and it'd be good. Michigan and Ohio State, I mean, both of those teams after, you know, Ohio State beat Kentucky – and Michigan was Louisville's early season premier win.
Right.
They both have tanked it in the Big Ten.
Absolutely.
Like what are they? They're both right around like 12-8.
Yeah. Something like that.
13-9. Yeah. You know, something somewhere around there.
Ohio State beat IU over the weekend.
Yeah. What is that?
Yeah.
You know, at this point.
Oh, well, IU was starting to like they were getting some top 25 votes for a while, and then
I think you've been talking to Crean a little bit too much there.
Yeah. Well, maybe
it's just hard to figure out. Like Illinois is number one in the Big Ten right now. Illinois.
When was the last time they were? I mean, they were
probably 2005.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, they were good.
Back with what Darren Williams, right?
Yeah. D Williams and
there were two. They had
Luther.
Two.
They had Luther Head.
Yeah.
Darren Williams and God, who was the third guy? The little guy. Was it D Brown?
Maybe. Damn.
Which incarnation of D Brown would this be? Because there's like 100 D Browns.
There is D Brown.
Right, I'm pulling it up. Illinois basketball, yeah.
And they had
I remember them being all
on
the
Augustin
cover.
Was it Augustin was the forward, I think? That game was hard to watch.
You're falling down a rabbit hole, but we're doing this.
I think it was Augustin was the forward, and Luther Head, D Brown, and Darren Williams were the guards.
All right, here we go. The roster consisted of...
Luther Head was like their Larry O'Bannon. He was their third guard, but he could at any point he could pop you for 20.
There you go. Yeah, Luther Head.
Incarnation of D Brown.
Yep.
Yeah, D Brown. Darren Williams. All those three were the captains. Calvin Brock, Rich McBride.
Is it Augustin?
James Augustin.
Roger Powell Jr.
Yeah.
Roger Powell. The NBA.
Yeah, James Augustin and Roger Powell. Those were the two others.
Brian Randall. Did he play in the NBA?
I think it was only the five
that team,
starters.
That team was
Sean Pruitt.
Anyway, they ruined my dreams. I was at that Final Four in 2005.
I'm sorry.
It was fun until it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
My favorite U of L team until the title team. God, I love that 2005 team with Garcia and O'Bannon, Tyquan Dean, Ellis Miles.
Johnson.
Yeah, Perrin Johnson. There you go.
Perrin, there you go. Earl Clark was on
Otis
the team.
Otis George.
Right?
No, Earl Clark was not on the team. Otis George, Juan Palacios. And Brandon Jenkins. Lorenzo Wade before he decided to transfer.
I'm pulling up that. You got to be going
to pretty much everybody that played. All right, I'm going way too far down.
Brad Giannini.
No look, Giannini. Let's go ahead and take one last break before our stretch run here. This is the V Show. I'm Dave Scull. That's Nick Valvano. And the process on the ones and twos, but not the threes. This is ESPN 680 and 105.7.
You're locked on the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Not quite.
This is not Bobby V. This is Biscuit with Nicky V. We got one more segment left.
Nicky V and Biscuit.
Nicky V and Biscuit. Oh, who's Biscuit in the big chair?
Oh, damn it. He's got me there.
Who's in the big chair?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
you,
all right.
You ensed me. You. You stuck that, into that, like, captain's chair.
That battle of microaggressions between between Round Daddy and Jason Entz is incredible.
That was so fun. Oh, my God.
I did the show with James on Friday. And he was... He didn't even realize what he was doing, but he sounded so smarmy talking about Jason Entz and how much work he's done on the post-game show. He's like, well, Jason, you've done so much work. I know how hard you've worked, and definitely going to let you be in chair one. You know, I get it. And I'm just like, can you even hear yourself, James?
Well, Daddy's big time now, man. Yeah, seriously. Time for this BS.
It's just become, yeah. It seeps into you.
It's but seriously, like the little mini war they have going is amazing.
I'm so mad. I wanted to see my boy Ant last night, but alcohol. Sorry, but the
I'm glad you didn't drive over there.
No,
then.
I was smart. I was smart. Boy. I was safe. I don't know if I was smart. I was safe. But Patty's boys are fun, man. Yeah, that was fun. But
it's a lot of bro dudes, right?
Oh, we were bro duding.
No. They're bro dudes. You were impersonating a bro dude.
I think alcohol brings out, you know, what whoever you're with.
Everybody's like got a little bro dude in them, even if they don't admit it.
Exactly. I mean, the conditions were ripe for bro dudiness. Yeah. But
for bro dutiness,
it was okay. Fun though. But what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, Patty Ice cracked me up though last week because he comes in and he's shaking his head because Pat usually has that look of just like, ugh, like something's going wrong. Because I mean, he's the new Magic, so when something, you know, a fire gets started that, you know, can't get put out by the brass, you know, he's next in line, you know, so he's he's just walked in all exasperated. I was like, what's wrong? He's like, I got to change this UK promo because Entz pulled a fast one on me. gave himself top billing. So, oh, it was funny.
Yeah, that was the root of the issue on Friday because the people from Kansas City put Strieble first. Jason in the original copy. Yeah. Jason put himself first.
Yeah. I see you, Entz. Shoot that shot.
That's that hustle.
That's awesome. So, he texted me... oh yeah, earlier during the midday rush, talking about, like, we were going back and forth about commercials, and
which I'm sorry I can't contribute very much to the commercial conversation because, like I said,
you were dealing with
a lot of distractions to the party, and God love great kids, you know, nothing to
go. No,
I love
kids. Yeah.
I love kids, but it's just that, you know, you're not going to hear as much as, you know, when there's a bunch of kids around.
Yeah. It was I missed a fair amount of commercials too because we were bro duding.
Yeah, you're bro duding. When you're bro duding,
yeah, you know, sometimes
you didn't miss much. It was pretty weak.
That's the impression I get.
I think actually low key,
there were some good ones, but if you throw a dart 50 times, you're gonna hit at least a few, right?
And the problem is, like, now a lot of the commercials get released beforehand.
Yeah.
So, like, everybody loves the Bill Murray commercial, but I saw it already.
Right.
That was like the one commercial I watched before the Super Bowl. Was the Bill Murray, you know, Groundhog Day commercial. So I already had seen it. So when it came on, I was like, ah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
That was great. I really liked the Alexa one, but that one too. Like, you know, what do you do? What they do before Alexa? Whatever.
See, I didn't even get to see that one.
No,
that
did
one
you see the Google funny. Alzheimer's one?
That one I saw.
I couldn't stand that one.
I saw it and it made me sad.
That one was sad. It freaked me out.
I mean, I went on a tangent today at Drew's show saying it's Big Brother 1984 all over again. I don't want them listening to me, man.
Yeah, that is a little creepy, but I got news for you, Process.
What? They're listening.
They're
already
listening.
I know.
Do you have a cell phone?
Yes.
They're listening.
They're listening. I know they are.
And just, guess what? You guys are listening, too, to ESPN 680 105.7.
Nice transition.
I just want to let everybody know that if you go incognito in your search browser on your phone, they still know what you're looking up.
They're called cookies, man.
Yeah. Well, I think incognito is supposed to not save the cookies. Doesn't matter. They already know what you're doing.
Yeah, fair enough. That's an old IP address.
There goes Nick.
Nick, what did you have on there? Dear God.
Erase his phone.
Nick has the dark web.
But anyway, so we were talking about the 2005 Louisville team before the break, just on, and Nick brought up the name Terrence Farley, which I hadn't thought about for a while, and it reminded me of one of my favorite.
Who I mistook for Terrence Clark one time. That was one of my finest bits of radio.
Attaboy. So
idiot.
one of my favorite U of L basketball moments of all time. Farley got checked in the game late in a blowout during that 2004-2005 season, and he fouled out in a minute 43. And he goes back to the bench, and Garcia walks over with a towel and starts fanning him off. It was amazing. I think it might have been less than a minute 43, but he was like a minute. The dude committed five fouls in like a minute of playing time. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And then he goes back and he has a towel over his head and he's all embarrassed.
Aww,
Patino's just laughing when he walks by him. He's just smiling and laughing. Garcia starts fanning him off. It was amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I wanted to mention before we finish up here, we've only got a little bit of time. I went to the USA national team versus the U of L women yesterday, which was it was very cool. The Louisville women were up after a quarter, which was pretty cool. You know, they kind of came out firing and played really good defense for a quarter, and Team USA wasn't hitting anything. And then all of a sudden, Sue Bird started hitting three-pointers.
And they were like, wait a minute, we're Team USA.
And you realize just the absurd amount of talent they have on the national team. It's not even the full roster right now, but, dude, you got Sylvia Fowles, who's 6'6". And Kylie's almost as tall as her if she's not. Because Kylie's listed at 6'4". But Kylie's like 6'6". She's huge. I don't know why she does. I'm telling you, when the WNBA measures her, she's going to come out 6'5 or 6'6". She's a big girl. But, like, they're bringing... And you know these names. Breanna Stewart,
right,
who killed us at UConn. Katie Lou Samuelson, who killed us at UConn. Kelsey Plum, who's the all-time leading scorer in NCAA history. She scored 3,000 points at Washington.
Wow.
She's like the eighth or ninth player off the bench. You know, like she's the eighth or ninth player.
Yeah, so, okay,
Breanna Stewart's the seventh or eighth player.
This is their team going to Tokyo because they did
With the exception of a few players. Like, I don't think Angel's going to be on the final roster.
Really?
She's just coming back from injury. You know, she was on this roster coming to Louisville, and, you know, she started and she played well.
Who's the girl from Oregon? Sabrina?
Sabrina Ionescu.
Ionescu, yeah. Is she on the team?
Not as of right now, but she's also playing college basketball right now.
Okay,
so,
well, I wasn't sure. Yeah, like,
you know what I mean? I don't know if she's...
But earlier, they did a couple of these scrimmages, and that team was...
Oregon won.
Yeah, Oregon won.
Oregon beat them. Yeah.
But that wasn't them at their full strength, right?
Well,
wasn't it sort of like their beat? Like,
I'd have to look at the roster because
that's what I heard. So this was like more or less.
This was
the Tokyo team.
Probably 10 out of the 12 players will be in Tokyo.
Nice.
I'm not sure. Like I said, I don't know if Angel's going to be on that team. Like the projected roster that I saw before this game didn't have Angel on it. You know, as far as the projected Tokyo roster.
Okay.
But, I mean, it makes sense. She's been hurt a lot the last 2 years, and she's just coming back from that. But she looked good. It was funny. Like, Jazz blew by her once. Didn't really blow by her. Like, Angel was on her. Jazz just made it to the basket, Jasmine Jones, and scored on Angel. And then it was like second court. Angel just decided to start imposing her will on Jazz. And, like, she backed her down and muscled her a few times. And it was fun to watch. It was awesome to see Angel back in town.
Yeah,
man.
She's pretty cool.
She's a legend. And always a joy. She's such a great ambassador for the university.
She still has her ice cream shop too, right?
She's opening one in Louisville.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
She's got one in Atlanta, and she's opening one in Louisville. At least she announced that last year. So
that's so cool.
Look for that. I mean, who doesn't want another ice cream shop?
That's what I'm saying. I
mean, seriously.
That's so awesome.
Couple of fat kids here.
Hey, yo.
Couple of fat kids right
here.
Got a couple of fat kids. Hey.
I'll take a little Rocky Road. I'll take some cookies and cream.
Look at that. It's Mark Blankenbaker.
Mark Blankenbaker. Hey, yo.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, little mister, I couldn't do the show today. Now he shows up.
Hey.
No, I'm just kidding.
Anyway.
I'm just kidding.
Hey, Mr. Too Big. Too big for the V show.
Mr. Blankenbaker. What I always call you guys is... I'm fading back into Nick here.
It's a drool.
You were always... you were Mr. Biscotti. Mm-hmm. Joe is that fella that's good. And he was U of L Constable. That's what the three of you guys was. My favorite trio.
U of L Constable.
And you come up with one for LJ.
More like U of L Constipated.
Hey,
that's what I say.
Ooh, speaking of constipated, Dunkaroos.
I gotta tell you, Nick,
how excited are you?
You're the king of the smooth transition.
Ah, dude, there's certain things I'm good at. There's certain things I suck
smooth
at.
Move, excellence.
Yeah.
Anyway,
by the way,
that was cool to see the Team USA in the Yum Center and get a chance to see Angel again. She's incredible.
I'm really mad. I I slept so late. I had a late night at work, and I woke up, and I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I could go to the game. I woke up at 1:45.
I remember the service industry life.
It was one of those 12-hour nights, and oh, my God, did I need it. It felt so good.
Just passing out at the end of the night and not waking up till mid-afternoon. Like, oh, my day's done. I can go back to work here in an hour.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, it was one of those, and then I was like, oh, wait, it's Sunday.
Yeah.
I said it just like that, too.
That was good.
Welcome right, my man, girlfriend. Well. She was not too fond of that. But 2:48, we have about 6, 7, 8 minutes left here. I think we can talk about something that I think is very, very important.
What's that? Hit me with it.
The Super Bowl.
Lamar Jackson? Unanimous MVP?
That and do you think Mahomes should have been the MVP?
Of the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It was by default.
I know,
honestly,
but
there was nobody. Who else was going to be the MVP? Damian Williams?
Yeah.
I don't know. What were his numbers?
I know. I'm pulling. Yeah, let me pull them up right now. But, I mean, that's because
he scored 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, in between us bro-duding, that's what we were talking about. Like, who's going to be the MVP? And we're like, well, it has to be.
It had, like, it was by default Mahomes. He threw for 286, 3 touchdowns, even though two throwing touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown.
He scampered in for 1.
I mean, he had 3 total touchdowns. Even though he had 2 picks, like, the quarterback is almost
–
when there's not another obvious option, it's the quarterback every time. Like, Brian Brown was the Orange Bowl MVP, and he had a very pedestrian game for him. But that's what happens.
Yeah, I guess. And don't get me wrong.
Damian Williams had 104 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That's a hell of a stat line, but – no, I guess it just I guess I have to take into account the clutch too, and you know,
and it's almost like a cumulative award for everything he's done in the playoffs. You know, it feels like
he's
put the team on his back and won.
And I know all the talk would be like, how could you not give it to him? And I get that.
Like, quarterbacks have so many more, like, even though they have so many opportunities to make mistakes, they have the most opportunities to make up for those mistakes.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the position. They have the ball every single possession. Every single down, they're touching the ball. So they have more opportunity to make those mistakes and more opportunities to make up for those mistakes. You know, it's just they get that's why they get the lion's share of the acclaim and the lion's share of the blame. That's what happened with Lamar this year. You know, he got the lion's share of the credit for a lot of the year, and then as soon as something went wrong with the team, it didn't matter if he had 500 yards total offense. They were saying things like they'd figured out Lamar, and Lamar can't win in the playoffs. That's just how it is. That's the nature of the position. That they get more. I mean, it's Deion Branch had 2 Super Bowl MVPs. You know what I mean? Like, but he got the 1, which is great.
That's true.
But that's how it works.
I guess, and I'm also kind of reverse engineering this almost, like the take. I'm thinking okay, if the take is that Damian Williams deserved the MVP, is there more fallout that he didn't get the MVP, or would there be more fallout that that Mahomes then got snubbed? And I think that, like, the vitriol, I've seen this thrown around, bantered around, like, Williams should have been the MVP. I saw it on Overreaction Monday when I was able to take my eyes off Diana Rossini. I saw what they put on the bottom.
Easier said than done.
Yeah. She's my media crush. Everyone has
attaboy.
One. But
just one. I've got a several.
All right. All right.
I've got 3. All
right. 2. Diana Rossini.
Process is ready. He's like, I've got 3, and these are them in alphabetical order. Go.
And he's got like a graph of the rankings. Like, let me see if I can guess them real fast. By the way, my 2, Diana Rossini, Sterling Ricks from WDRB. Handsome man. yours are Katie Nolan. Hit the dinger. Give me the dinger. I want the dings if you don't mind, Mr. Process. So Katie Nolan. Bing. Diana Rossini. Bing. And 3.
3 is the tough one.
3 is the tough one.
See, 3, like...
is Susie Colbert.
No, but that's a good guess.
It is local or national?
National.
We can make it real weird if it was local.
Stuart Scott all day.
That's a good...
R.I.P.
I love Stuart Scott. Going,
yeah.
Absolutely. No, it's Kay Adams.
Kay Adams?
Yeah.
What's she on?
Good Morning Football.
Yeah. Oh,
she's great.
Good Morning Football is a good show.
Yeah, it's an amazing show. I like her. I like Kyle Brandt. He's been on
Kyle
the show.
Kyle Brandt's good. Kyle Brandt got his start on the Rome show. He was actually, he was on, wasn't he the one who was on Real World
Yeah, he's a reality.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle Brandt was on Real World, and then he was a producer, kind of back, you know, was on air every once in a while with Jim Rome, and he would sub-host near the end of it, and then he kind of parlayed that into the job he's got now. He's great at what he does.
Yeah,
straight
he's
up,
real good.
If you were to ask me, at least right now, at 23, almost 24, what job I would like to have, writing for that show would be probably it.
Yeah, it seems like
a lot of fun.
It's a good show, man.
Yeah, it is fun. I love their clips. I never wake up in time to watch it live, but I watch all the clips on Twitter. Sometimes I dub them. Sometimes I get Kyle Brandt to come on the air.
Attaboy. Kicking it back to the MVP conversation, I feel like when you have a quarterback that's as big a personality and as prominent as Mahomes, who had a decent game by the end, you know what I mean?
Right.
The two interceptions notwithstanding. You have to, like, running backs, it's just the nature of the position. In order to stand out, you have to have, like, 150 yards. You know what I mean? Like, 100 yards just isn't going to do it.
That's a good point.
When you're talking about MVP of the Super Bowl, unless you have, like, a quarterback that throws for 130 yards. You know what I mean? Like, if a quarterback throws for 286, accounts for 3 touchdowns of the 4, he's probably going to get the MVP.
Yeah, you would have to.
He's probably going to get that. It's easier for them to shine. Running backs don't really get the acclaim until they hit, like, 150 yards.
Yeah.
Or have, like, 3 touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like a Derrick Henry type performance.
Yeah, right. Okay. You know? That's fair. I guess it's just...
Same with receivers. I mean, receivers don't get the credit unless they get like 150 yards.
So, I mean, what? Like, you need... I almost feel like we can almost write the book here. Or at least, you know, what the basic requirements are. The Mendoza line of a Super Bowl MVP. I feel like it has to be, at least on the offensive side, 2 scores and...
Depending on what the quarterback does.
Right.
If you're not a quarterback,
I'm trying to think of like how many yards of offense, because obviously it's different. But
it's,
like,
I think it depends on game to game, you know, just depending on what kind of game it was.
Hmm. Well, think about like Malcolm Smith, like a defensive touchdown put him over the top. So yeah, I think if you're on defense, either 2.5 or 3 sacks or defensive touchdown plus or maybe a couple turnovers definitely gets it for you.
For sure.
All right. I feel like, yeah, if we had a little bit more time, we could flesh that out a little bit. But
I'm just saying in general, like in a typical Super Bowl with a typical quarterback performance, for a running back or a wide receiver to stand out, they have to have like 150 yards.
So, I mean, so 150 plus.
That's
two
what
scores.
It feels like to me, but that's not every. That's not every Super Bowl.
I don't think that's ridiculous. That's with
a quarterback having a typical quarterback performance. If that makes any sense? Like 250 yards and 2 or 3 touchdowns.
Okay, that's fair. All right, real fast. Shakira or J-Lo, who do you think won the Super Bowl?
Shakira. I was a big fan of everything they did. You know, it's impressive at that age. Yeah. Shakira,
awesome.
Crushing it.
This is impressive.
This is the V-Show.
Awesome.
Andy up next.
Yay.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a 4 Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.